to the Lord today.
Amen.
No greater place to be, especially when the temperatures are in the 90s. Amen. Yeah. Isn't it great the inventions that man has made? And I remember some of those old camp meeting services out in West Des Moines where they had those doors on the side that they would flip up, and if you were fortunate, there might be a breeze that would be blowing through there, but it would be so hot in Iowa. Wow. You know, I always felt like you needed to take a quick shower, but it didn't do any good because the moment you stepped out of the shower, you're sweating again. So at any rate, this is great. And it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. We serve the Lord for the Lord, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. And I want to begin, first of all, by just simply saying that it's been a real privilege for me to come and minister to you folks and just to experience the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit in our services. You know, not all the churches do you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's all ritual. They sing all their songs and they read all their prayers and all their scriptures, and then they hear a lecture from their pastor, and then they go home and their lives are not changed. But I'm so thankful that we serve a God through His Holy Spirit that transforms the lives of individuals. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that I'm not the way that I used to be. Jesus has done quite a work in me. And I praise Him for that today. This morning I want to talk to you about, it's probably something that you've heard many times over the years, but the title of my message is, Life is a Temporary Assignment. And I want you to know that our perspective on life influences our whole existence. And how we invest our time and spend our money, use our talents, and value our relationships is determined by our perspective on life. And so, how do I see my life? Is it a journey? Is it a carousel? Is it a dance? It's kind of your choice. And I'm so glad that we serve a God that says, you know what, Greg? You can serve me if you want to, and I'd love to have you serve me. But if you don't want to, it's your baby. Do it. And be responsible for the consequences. Amen. Well, our scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalm chapter 39, verses 4 to 7, and it's not a very encouraging one. It's one that kind of makes you look at life maybe a little differently and maybe a little more critically. But if you'd stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning, we'll begin reading from verse 4. Psalm 39, beginning with verse 4. O Lord, make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my days a few hand breaths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely the man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing there are turmoil, or in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, and we're so thankful again for the love to us, and we're so thankful, Lord, that you have a plan for every one of our lives as we yield ourselves to you. And Father, I pray in this service that your Holy Spirit would rest upon us. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us through your word and through your servant. And Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. And Lord, for all that you do, we'll be careful to give you all the credit and all the praise. For the Lord of it all, this I pray in the powerful name of Jesus. You may be seated. We find that the Bible tells us that life is very brief in comparison to eternity, and that life is only a temporary residence for Christians. Now, we won't be here for very long. So we better not get too attached to the things of this world. And you look all around us and you see people that they just scramble and do their very best to do what they can and gain as much as they can and collect as much as they can. And Lord, let me tell you, when you start moving, you have to start going through all your stuff. And you go like, how long ago has it been since I used that? And I guess they tell you, at least smart people say, that if you haven't used it in the last year, get rid of it. Well, you know, sometimes there's a little sentimental attachment to a few things along the way. But nonetheless, you know what I'm saying? We collect so many things and don't even think a thing about it. We just keep working hard to buy and gather as many things as we can to make life more comfortable for us. But I want to tell you that life is short, and God has plans for our lives. He wants to do things in us and through us for His glory, but we have to cooperate with Him. The Bible continually reminds us that all these Christians are in a foreign land and just passing through. Terms such as alien, visitor, stranger, foreigner, and traveler are used to describe our brief stay on earth. And so in our country, I know that many people have moved from other parts of the world to work here, but they keep their citizenship in their own countries. Well, consequently, they are required to carry a visitor registration card called a green card, which allows them to work here even though they're not citizens. Well, I really believe that Christians ought to carry spiritual green cards to remind them that their citizenship is in heaven rather than here. Amen? We're here to understand that there's far more life in the few years that we live here. All eternity is in eternity, and our homeland is heaven. That's where we're going. Amen. If we love the Lord and serve Him. The Bible says in James 4, verse 4, that he said, "You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." You see, the Bible is very blunt about the dangers of living for the here and now and adopting the values and the priorities and lifestyles of the world around us. And so we say, well, what in the world is James saying here about friendship with the world? What does it mean? Well, he calls those believers adulterers because they're trying to love God and still have an affair with the world. Let's compare our lifestyles just a little bit. I know it's impossible to be a friend of the world and a friend of God because the world thinks we should, I want you to hear this, the world thinks we should be flexible, tolerant of sin, and accommodating for all of those things. And that path always leads the Christian in the opposite direction that God is trying to take us. Amen. Now, on the other hand, the word of the Lord is faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. It's also love, peace, and joy. Galatians 5:22. The abundant living, John 10:10. Eternal life, John 3:16. Love of your neighbor, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. All those things are important. And when we talk about the things of this world in comparison, we found that people that try to live for this world and this world alone, even if they gather great wealth, you find over and over again situations where people commit suicide, they use drugs and destroy their bodies and their minds. There is all sorts of things that destroy them. And God doesn't want us to be destroyed. He wants us to be healthy and wealthy. Well, He brilliant. Maybe I better not go there just yet. But I can tell you this, that God wants to bless His people, and He wants to use them for His glory. And when we're so focused on all these other things in this world, we're distracted. We are so distracted. And I wonder why many churches are doing nothing for God. They're not reaching new people for Jesus. It's because they're distracted with all the other things and cares of this world and forgetting about what God's called them to do. That is to reach out to the lost who don't know Jesus. Amen. I don't care how good a music program you have or how great a preacher you've got or what kind of great programs you've got in your church. If you're not doing the will of God and you're not doing the will of God, you're not going to be effective. You may have a lot of people in the church. You may have a lot of people in your church. But the question is the Spirit of God in your services and in your ministries? Are people's lives being transformed by the Spirit of God? That's the only thing that matters. I've seen God use people that you said, I can't believe that God would ever call anybody like that. And yet God uses them. They're out there reaching people for Jesus, leading them to Christ. Some of my own pastors. But when God calls, He anoints and He equips to accomplish His purposes through that individual. Amen. And God has a place for everyone for ministry. Amen. Aren't you glad? You're not left out. God wants to use you. But you have to be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Well, unfortunately, I've got a little sidetracked here, but unfortunately, many professing Christians, they may love God, but are so infatuated with the benefits of this world system, and the wealth of influence, and the living standards, and the financial security, and some of the freedom the world offers, that it leads to compromise, amen, and consequently makes them ineffective in doing the will of God. I tell you, Satan is so subtle. If he can get you sidetracked on things that will keep you from really doing what God has called you to do, he's up there, or down there. He's rejoicing. He's celebrating. The so-called God's people aren't doing anything for the Lord. They're not accomplishing God's purpose. Amen and ouch. It's true. Well, by the way, there's nothing wrong in wanting pleasure in life. If you go to 1 Timothy, I'm going to read from there. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 through 5. And this is what it says. For everything created by God is good. Whoa. And nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made whole by the word of God and prayer. And so, God doesn't want us to live miserable lives our whole existence on earth. He only desires the very best for us. He wants us to be happy. But He also knows this, that we cannot truly be happy unless we are in the will of God and doing what He wants us to do. That's where real joy and contentment and fulfillment come from. Amen. Well, so what should be our proper relationship with the world? Well, I know withdrawal isn't the answer. We are called to be in the world, but not of the world. John chapter 17, verse 14. And we should love people of the world enough to give them the gospel. But to befriend them does not mean we should embrace or condone the things of the world that are opposed to God and His Word. And sometimes we have what they call sloppy agape. People who profess to be Christians, and so they just condone and welcome anything that comes their way, and they accept anything that the world is doing because we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to, and we are to love them, but that doesn't mean, I mean, some of us have had kids. You know, we love them very, very much. But does that mean that we say, hey, just go do what you want to do, hey? No, we don't, do we? We have guidelines for them. And we say, there's some things that are not good for you. And I know you don't like when I'm telling you now, but let me tell you that it's for your own good that I'm telling you this. You see, all of us adults have been kids. Some of us are still big kids, you know, but what I'm saying is all of us have been kids at one time. And so I kind of know how kids think. I have my son. He wasn't a bad kid, okay? He wasn't out doing a bunch of really bad things, but he was creative, okay? And so when he'd do something and I was displeased about it, he'd say, well, Dad, you never said I couldn't do that. I'm going, yeah, that's true. But you see, God desires the very best for us, and that's why he gives us his guidelines and his word to lead us around so that we don't mess up our lives. I've talked to so many people that have gotten saved in a lot of years of their life, and after they come to know Christ, they look back and say, man, I wasted so many years, wasted years, that I could have been doing some things for God. But those years are gone. I can't take them back. And so if you really want to live a life that is pleasing to God and a blessing to the world around you, serve God. Come to know Christ early in life. And then say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do in life. Lord, guide me into what your calling for my life is. It might be someone who owns a grocery store, or it might be a carpenter, or whatever. It could be any of those things, but God can use us in every type of work. Praise his name. Amen. We can be a blessing. Well, people who choose friendship with the Lord also choose to become God's enemy. Now, that sounds a little strong, doesn't it? People who choose friendship with the world also choose to become God's enemy. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus said, no one can serve two masters. So, in fact, real friendship with God may at times alienate us from the world around us. I can tell you, there have been times when because I took a stand for Christ that I got a little criticism. So what? I want to just tell you, serving God is not for the faint-hearted. Serving God is not for the faint-hearted or the weak. It takes a real man and a real woman to stand up for Christ and live their life in front of others and speak the truth in love. I remember when I fought forest fires that one summer up in Colorado, Potlatch, Northern Idaho. We had special fight fires that summer, and we did. But when we weren't fighting fires, they had us go. Loggers had come in and they had cut down logs and everything, and they had a lot of what they call slash. And so we were asked to go in there and pile all this slash, all these loose branches and things, and pile them up, and we would have what they call a controlled burn. Well, sometimes at lunchtime, we were close to a mountain stream. Boy, those mountain streams are swift. Woo! And cold. And on those hot days up in the mountains, some cold water really felt good. And so during the lunch break, we just jumped into the stream. Well, that was kind of dangerous because the streams were so swift that they just pulled the water down the direction the stream was flowing. And sometimes there are some fairly good sized rocks and things in the bottom, and if it swept you around, you could hit the rocks and get hurt pretty good. But I remember us trying to swim upstream against that swift current. That was tough. That was difficult. But I want to tell you, serving God Even though God is with us and gives us the power to be an overcomer to the glory of God, it's not always easy. There's going to be some tough days, and people are going to resist you, and they're going to be upset with you, and they're going to criticize you. Sometimes they're going to make up stories about you that aren't true. But you see, our concern is not so much what people say about us and think about us, but it's what our Heavenly Father thinks and says about us. That's the only thing that matters, especially on Judgment Day. And so buck up. Be a man or a woman. And do the right thing in spite of all the opposition you might face. Amen. Well, when we hear as consumers and users or pleasure-mad tourists, we are ambassadors representing King Jesus. And this is really important, because if we are asked to be an ambassador to an enemy nation, we will have to learn a new language and adapt to some customs and cultural differences in order to be polite and to accomplish our nation's mission in that country. To fulfill our mission, we would have to have contact with and relate to the people there. And that would be very acceptable. But if we became comfortable with this enemy nation, fell in love with it and preferred it over our own homeland, we would no longer be fulfilling our mission as ambassador for our country. And as a result of that, we would need to resign. And we would then be considered an enemy of our homeland. You take that into the spiritual realm. We are ambassadors for Christ in this world. And many times a hostile world. Christians are being slaughtered all around the world. And we are people who represent Christ in this world. And I'll be honest with you, you may be the only Jesus that someone sees. The Jesus that's in you. And God expects us to stand tall for Him and represent Him well. Be obedient to the Word of God. Be obedient to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen. Oh. I don't know about you, but I want to represent my Lord well. And it's not easy sometimes. But I'm going to just tell you this, in those moments when it's difficult, God's Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, is there to strengthen us and give us what we need to stand tall for Jesus. Amen. It works. I'm in the Navy. I'm not going to tell you some of the stories that, because it would be a long day. But I'm going to just tell you that I've had some great discussions and some unusual experiences while in the Navy. And thank the Lord God helped me through all of that. Praise His name. Wow. Well, over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, it states, "Dear friends, as aliens," there's that word again, "and strangers," there's that word again, "in the world, abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul." So in other words, this world is not your home, so don't get too comfortable in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your spiritual well-being. Now, everything here is temporary for the Christian. You see, because this world is not our ultimate home, It really does explain why true Christians experience difficulty, sorrow, and rejection in this world. It also explains why some of God's promises seem to be fulfilled, some prayers unanswered, and some circumstances seem unfair. I have read some of Ryan's writings, and one of his books, he made a comment that really jumped out at me. He said, in order to keep us from becoming too attached to earth, God allows us to feel a significant amount of discontent and dissatisfaction in life, longings that will never be fulfilled on this side of eternity. And then he says, we're not completely happy here because we're not supposed to be. I'm going to repeat that. We're not completely happy here because we're not supposed to be. Knowing that this is not really our home should radically change our values. Eternal values rather than temporal ones should become the deciding factor in all of our decisions. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. And then the Apostle Paul goes on and says, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so it's a fair mistake to assume that God's goal for our life is material prosperity or popular success, as the world often defines it, and even some big-name preachers. If you tell that sort of thing to the millions of Christians who have lost reputation, lost possessions, family, and been slandered for the sake of Christ over the years by the many religions, they would say, that's not true. I know God's word promises that if we will seek his kingdom and righteousness first, all these things, in other words, the basic needs of life will be given to us as well, Matthew 6, 35. Those are the ways of Jesus, and they are true. And when we do the word of God, God always makes provision for us to accomplish what he's called us to do. Amen. We can depend on that. However, the notions being preached in some places that if you serve the Lord, you'll be, in essence, healthy, wealthy, and wise, runs contrary to the life stories of all the great men and women of God down through the centuries. I know some people don't like to hear that. And I want to just say this. I know that God has blessed, really blessed some Christian people. But he didn't bless them for them. He blessed them so they could be a blessing to others, and they could give to others. Amen. It's true. Well, the abundant life does not necessarily have anything to do with material abundance, and faithfulness to God does not guarantee success in a career, even in ministry. So don't get caught up in the trap of focusing on temporal crowns. For instance, the Apostle Paul was faithful in all of the scriptures that he had written. But he spent a lot of time in prison. He was beaten and run out of towns and eventually killed. And then we had John the Baptist, who was beheaded. And then all but one of the 12 disciples were martyrs for Christ. You see, in God's eyes, the greatest heroes of faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat this life as a temporary assignment, serving faithfully and expecting a reward in eternity. Hebrews chapter 11 tells of the great men and women of faith in the Bible in those first 34 verses. And then I want to read what the Lord says in verses 35 to 39. This is what it says. When we see back their dead by resurrection, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. And they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about on skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. Now get this. Of whom the world was not worthy. The world was not worthy of them because of their commitment to Christ. They gave everything for Christ. And sometimes we need to just stop and ask ourselves, you know, what have I given for Christ? What have I already given for Christ in this life? I'm about done. And again, if you like, you can clap or you can cheer. Woo-hoo! But I'm about done, okay? Friends, our life on earth is not the complete story of our lives. And we will have to wait until heaven for the rest of the chapters. And we will not be able to long. Even then, I would say just a matter of seconds before we will cry out and we will say, why did I place so much importance on things that were so temporary and insignificant spiritually? What was I thinking? Why did I waste so much time, energy, and concern on things that would not last? I know that when life gets tough, there are times that we feel overwhelmed with doubts and wonder whether serving Christ is worth it. And during those times, we need to remember that we're not home yet. We're not home yet. We're just passing through. We have very light suitcases that we're carrying with us. Amen. Sometimes we wonder whether our life is worth serving God or not. But during those times, we need to remember that we're not home yet, and at death, we won't be going home, but we'll be going home. Every born again Christian, every person that knows Christ as Savior, will be looking forward. You know, I keep telling my doctors, you know, they tell me all these things that I'm supposed to do, you know, to be healthy. And this is what I tell them. I say, you know, Doc, I just want you to know that I really appreciate all the information you've given me on how to take care of myself. And I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. But you can't live my life for me. And I'm going to enjoy some of the things I'm not supposed to once in a while. And besides that, I'm a Christian, and you know what? I know the only time God can take me, and I'll be happy. Hey, I'm not worried about it. I know where I'm going. Woo, that's shouting territory, folks. Amen. So take heart. If life's a little tough, just say, I know what, Lord. I know this is just temporary. We're going to make it. You're going to help me through it. He always said, you know, that's one of the things about the Lord. And I know I said I was done. You know, preachers, they always say that several times. I'm almost done. I'm almost done. But I just want to say that remembering Jesus Christ as Savior, it doesn't matter what you're going through in life. You can always depend on this one thing. God is with you. And He doesn't desert you in the midst of it. Sometimes we think He has, but He never deserts us. He walks with us right through every trial and every situation that we go through. Praise His name. You see, He's got our best interest at heart. And so He's going to take care of you. He'll make a way. I don't have time to tell more stories. But I can just tell you this. I've seen God work miracles on my behalf when I needed help. Praise His name. Wow. Well, I guess I'm letting you out about 4 minutes early here. So I guess we might make it there before the Assembly of God people get over there. So we'll close with that. But God bless you all. And God's got some wonderful plans for your church. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You know what? Regardless of how small your congregation is, you still have an impact in your community. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Please stand and join us as we sing, "Change My Heart, O God."